Learn to align your wardrobe style with your personal and professional brand with this book. What's Your Mean? Discover Your Fashion Identity by Makara Reed. Purchase today.
All right. We are in our IG live. Hey, girl. Let everybody come in. My Instagram is got it. All right. I'm like, my Instagram is, we're gonna pull it together. How are you doing?
What's up? I'm good. How are you?
Oh God, I almost was gonna be late, but I'm like, oh my God. Crazy, but how are you? How do you pronounce your name? Your first name?
Pauline.
Okay. All right. We're going to let people in. I want you guys to welcome yourselves. This is What's Your Mean, the conversation series, stemming some conversations off my book, which was officially public. Well, the publication date was yesterday, October 3rd. So it's been very exciting. So this is going to be our last live stream because we've been doing it for some weeks now. And also, it's a busy time for me, for my business, because everyone is very image conscious and holidays, parties, and company parties. It's getting kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was almost late today. I was like, oh, I got to go. But we're going to make it. So let's get this party started because it's going to be a very fun episode. All right. Welcome to the final episode. This was a very special series. I definitely want to thank everyone who I've dragged in here. And we had so much fun. I think they learned. I think so. After all these weeks, we've been diving into different topics of my book regarding your fashion identity and lining it with your personal or professional use. Everyone's different by case by case. We're going to actually do a live exercise with you, Tylin.
I'm a guinea pig.
Yes. So as everyone was just listening to some of the passages on from my book, but yeah, I was just like, let me do this one because you do branding yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, this will be a very good exercise to see where she is in her life and if she like ties in her personal and professional brand. Some people do, some people don't. So let's get into it.
Yeah. By the way, congrats on your book. That's amazing. And I absolutely love your IG live. You're so clever. So clever.
Yes. Thank you. I during the pandemic, I had a lot of downtime, and yeah, the pivot, when I like looked through like my journals, I was writing what the void was, which was pretty much, we're living in a society where it's camera ready. Mm-hmm. Anyone can be viral at any moment. Everyone is judging you off of your cover art or your B-roll, like, oh girl, I saw you in the background. So I just felt like no one really, you know, puts in the work for their everyday fashion. Mm-hmm. It's more of the moment when you're going to a party or when you're going to an event. I mean, I do that, but like, what about your everyday in the back end of it? So yeah, my business mentor just raised the question because I still had like a small percentage of corporate who were still using me during the pandemic. And I saw that little entry I wrote in my little journal, my little notes that I doodled. And I just reconstructed everything. And that's also just how my book just spawned. So, yeah, this is literally like the redirection post-pandemic.
Yeah. And a lot of businesses during the pandemic, there were so many businesses that started in the pandemic because what else are you going to do? So, yeah, I'd love to hear your take on it. And then, of course, I'll share my expertise as well.
So let's get started. We're going to read some of the, we're going to read the directions for this exercise. This exercise is section 2 of chapter 1. It's the calendar activities. Mm-hmm. So, but the theme of this episode is your clothing mix aligned with your calendar activities? A lot of people are just like, what do you mean by that? So we'll go into that because I know I brought it up in the previous weeks, but we're going to actually do a live exercise. Ooh. So take a look at your calendar activities in our next exercise. Use your finished chart to determine the percentage of total time you spend in each section, in each category of activities. Then create a pie graph to give you a visual picture of your personal fashion system. So I'm going to give you a couple of the questions before we go into the categories. What industry are you in?
Okay, so I'm in personal branding, so I guess that falls under marketing.
Mm-hmm. How much movement or lifting do you do in a day?
What do you mean by that? Like physically?
So, yeah. So some people sit at the desk a lot, so they do a lot more writing. So that means they do like a little bit of movement a day. Some people actually design, so they're moving their arm. And when they wear stuff, they need to have stretch, like fabric, so that they like move around and not feel restricted. So do you do a little bit of movement? Do you do a lot of movement, or it's a day by day cases?
Oh, my schedule is the same every single day, Makara. So I'm very much meeting in the morning, activity all afternoon, meeting at night, because I have a 3-year-old. So okay. I dress for my lifestyle.
Okay. And lastly, do you work long hours straight through, or do you work in intervals, like 3 to 4 hours, take a break, and then go back to work?
Definitely interval.
Okay. All right. Categories. As time is a limited resource we can never truly own, we tend to try to make the best of every hour. On this note, most people have 4 main areas in which they spend their time. 1, family time. This is a time spent getting to know your family members better, cooking, mothering, fathering your children, and visiting relatives. 2, professional time. This is the time spent working or networking. It could be as a full-time employee or a part-timer, volunteer work, side gigs, or conventions. It's the time spent with colleagues. Your social time, which is the 3rd one, this is the time spent trying to build relationships outside of your professional circle. This time is set arranging with people to be with your friends, take part of cultural activities, be friendly with your neighbors, and spend and attend church or other religious activities. And 4, which is me time. This is the time spent alone, doing what we love, like facials, yoga, exercise, sleeping, sewing, crocheting, or any other activities.
Okay.
All right. So now let's get into our live exercise. I'm going to be actually writing this down, and we're going to walk it through.
Okay, so, you write, I wing it.
Yeah. So you're telling me if you want to fabricate it, I don't really care. We're here.
I'm hands-free today. Yeah.
All right. So let's go over professional. So you understand what professional category is, yep. Right? Okay. So for your professional on Monday, how many hours do you spend as a full-time, part-time, side gig, or volunteer?
In total, probably around 5. And let's copy and paste that Monday to Friday.
Okay.
My schedule's the same no matter what day it is.
5 hours?
Mm.
And that's your full-time job?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I work full-time, part-time. So that's by choice, though.
Oh, no, I know. I just broke it because some people have full-time and then they have a part-time job. So I just want to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is your full-time job. No other part-time?
Nope.
Okay, do you have any side gigs?
No. Nope.
Okay. Okay. Do you volunteer?
Not yet.
Okay. No worries.
Virtually, yes, but not in person.
Okay. Mm. I mean, that's still taking up your time.
Yes.
Okay, so how many hours on Monday or Monday through Friday?
So it's only around 2 hours per month because I'm on a board of committees, so I only have to show up to the meetings and then everything
Okay.
else is done virtually.
Okay, so 2 hours per month.
Yes. Oh, actually, I just remembered I am the president of a network business networking group, and that's on a weekly basis. So that's an extra 2 hours per week. So I forgot about that.
See, look at that. This is why we combing through it. See,
I
look at
totally forgot.
that.
That is a volunteer position. I don't get paid for that, so
It's volunteer. It's still taking up your time.
yes, you made me think.
That's why I said, let me have her do this exercise so people can like understand. Because I know I took Tiffany when we were doing the shopping exercise. I asked her some of these questions, like how much time, and she was just like, I don't really know. So I'm just like, let me try this exercise with you.
Okay.
All right. So we got that one. All right. So that is your professional. So for your professional, we have, yeah, you have about 10.5 hours a week.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
Oh, a week. A
A
week.
week.
Yeah.
Okay.
The total hours you spend in your professional column, which you just told me you Monday through Friday, you have 5 hours. You volunteer the 2 hours.
Oh, it's 5 hours per day.
5 hours per day.
Okay.
Oh, no. My math is wrong.
There you
Sorry,
go.
y'all.
I was like, I swear I work a little bit harder than that. So five, hang on.
Sorry, sorry, sorry.
Look, I'm bad with numbers too, and I thought that's a little low.
Okay, I got it. 25 plus
That's better.
2.5. All
Bring my
right.
calculator. Ah.
Sorry, y'all. It's been a long day.
I hear you.
All right, so we got 27.5 hours per day.
Oh, that's too
Per
low for
week,
me.
per week, per
Gosh,
week.
okay.
All right, so that is your professional. I have this written down, 27.5 per week. All right, let's go on to the next section. Your social. Right. Now, what do you do for entertainment?
Not much. Just hanging, entertaining my kid. That's my main job.
Okay. Well, there's still a time. You can't get back time. So don't neglect, and you gotta compartmentalize. So you don't go to like the movies,
No.
amusement parks.
Whatever I do, I do with my kid. So this is why I work the way I do. I spend my mornings and my evenings on my projects and with my clients, and then the rest of the day I'm spending really good quality time with my kid.
Okay,
So,
so you spend a lot of, okay.
but
So
I designed that on purpose.
that's good though. Yeah.
Need that balance. Need that balance.
Yes. I mean, if I don't have any kids, so that's all I'm just asking. So I mean, every woman's lifestyle is different. I definitely have that in my book. Like I laid out, there's one that's not even working at all. She's a stay-at-home mom. She takes her kids to, whatever activities, and then she also supports her husband. Like she doesn't work at all. And then there's another woman who's pretty much trying to build her own empire. So her out activities is higher than the woman. So I have different variations. There's no right or wrong answer. That's why I'm just laying out like these different options, but every woman's lifestyle is different and we're all at different phases. Okay. So do you do any church or any religious activities? No. Okay. Dining out.
Probably once a week.
Once a week?
Let's say that's probably 3 hours a week.
Okay. 3 hours.
Nicole, I don't have much of a social life.
Okay. All right. So your total in your social is 3 hours. All right. Let's get to family time. My family time is low compared to family time. All right. Cooking. How many hours do you think you spend per week?
Oh, we take turns sessions in my household, so maybe three hours per week.
3 hours?
Quite long.
This is including Saturday and Sunday, mm-hmm. right? Okay, 3 hours per week.
I cook fast. Okay. I'm like, boom, done. Yeah. I don't want to spend hours in the kitchen. It's not fun.
How about cleaning?
Who wants to spend a long time cleaning? I probably clean like 20 minutes here and there. So my house is pretty clean though. So let's just say 1 hour per week as well.
Okay.
Again, boom, 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 done. It's not worth spending a long time on.
All right. How about laundry?
That doesn't take long. That's like 20 minutes per week or something.
Even to dry?
I got a dryer. So look, in my country, in the UK, we don't have dryers. In America,
there's dryers everywhere. Oh, you're from the UK?
Yeah.
Okay. So the whole household duty is totally different over there.
Oh, no, I'm big. So I'm in the US right now.
I know, but I'm just saying. Yeah. The household, like, whole experience.
The lifestyle's different. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Here, in this country, there's so many things that do things for you. So it's so easy to automate tasks right. that you don't want to do. And that's exactly what I do. I automate things that I don't want to do. A lot of it is household stuff. Give that to someone else or something else, like your dryer. I don't want to spend hours drying clothes. That's a waste of time.
Yeah, outsource it. what number did you say for?
I said 20 minutes. So per week. So that 20, 40, 60, that's roughly an hour per month.
Okay.
Again, boom, 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 done.
20 minutes. Okay, and mothering.
That's the bulk of my time.
So how much time?
So listen, I wake up at 6 a.m. Uh-huh. That's when I do boxing on a daily basis. That's my time in the morning. And then 7 to 8, that's 1 hour, getting my kid ready. And then from 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I'm with my child. So that's 7. So that's 8 hours per day with her.
8 hours per day?
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. about 40 hours.
So that's a full-time job.
Of course. Mm. Yes. Spouse? No? Spouse time? No?
Spouse time could be big, could be higher. Probably we give each other quality time one hour a day, I'd say. So it's not much. Oh,
every day?
That's Monday to Friday. Well, that's Monday to Friday, so that's 5 hours. He deserves more time, but I can't give it to him right now. Sorry. And then the weekend is the whole day. And then so the weekend, we spend all of our time together.
So like 8 hours, would you say? I'd
say more. The moment I wake up to the moment we sleep,
I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know how long you're up. So I'm just right. I'm just saying, and I'm right. just a number.
Let's see. Let's say 9 p.m. till about, let's say 12 hours on a Saturday and 12 hours on Sunday. So that's full family time.
So 24 plus 7, right? Because you said 1 hour Monday through Friday, right?
So 24 plus 5.
That's 29. Oh. Mm.
Okay. That's
29
bad.
Hours per week mm. with your mm. husband. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Lucky him. That was more than I expected.
With what?
Hanging out with my husband.
I mean, these are questions to ask because I want to see if your clothes go with whatever you're doing in your lifestyle. Yeah. A lot of times people are like, I can't find something to wear when I'm going to such and such. And I'm just like, well, do you know what you're doing? Like, is it aligning with what's in your closet? Because when you compare these numbers, your percentages with whatever you have in your closet, well, this is why. Like, you're mothering a lot, but you have a lot of dressy stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get your dressy stuff, like, messed up. Mm-hmm. So that's where you got to come in and kind of strategize. And mm-hmm. a lot of people don't come to that realization. That's why I said, let me do this real life exercise that I have in my book.
Nice.
So yes. Okay. All right. So lastly,
Personal. Define personal.
Personal is you time, me time.
Oh, that's like the bottom of my list. So let's see. Me time. Let's see.
Shopping. Do you do any shopping?
No. Everything I do is with somebody else. So okay. Bull mark point would be around, let's say 5 hours per week.
On what?
Personal.
Okay. What are you doing? Like, what's the activity? Because you got to be specific.
Oh, boxing. Oh, you first thing that I do.
Boxing. Okay. Okay.
So that's, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, me time could be better, but it's coming.
Okay. All right. Okay. So let me add up your family. Bear with me, folks, because math is not. Listen, a calculator. Shout out to who invented the calculator. 93. So you spend 93 hours in your family time, 3 hours with social, 5 hours with your me time, and your professional is 27.5 per week.
Interesting.
Does that sound right?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. You know what you need? You need a lifestyle calculator on your website, and that's going to drive people to analyze this.
People are afraid of math. It's. I mean, just me explaining this breakdown, they kind of get intimidated. So the calculator, they're like, "Oh, I thought you were a stylist." I think they would be a little. I would need to like research that. Good idea, but this kind of activity, people are like, "Oh, I'll do this later," and I'm just like, "When, girl?" Because we can't do the closet audit.
An audit. You need an audit for anything to realize exactly what you're doing, what you're thinking, and what you're doing could be completely misaligned.
Correct.
And that's exactly what you're trying to figure out, right? So.
Correct. Correct. All right. So now that we have these numbers, let's talk about what you have in your closet.
Okay.
So since your family category is so significantly high, it's like the majority, if I had like my little pie chart, because there is a blank one in my book, and you would like shade in these sections. Do you feel like you have enough clothes to function in your category with your family? Like when you hang out with your husband, are you satisfied with what you're wearing?
So, yes. So, I'm not your average woman. I have a very small closet. I have a capsule closet. So okay. All season, I wear the same stuff. If it's summer, spring, no matter what it is. And my clothing is very functional. So I can go from a Zoom meeting to a play group on a drop of a hat. So I can just seamlessly jump in and out of my activities. So I definitely dress for my lifestyle. However, I have a very specific style with how I put myself together. So I always wear some sort of like headpiece. I wear, you know, it's hot today. So it's usually a t-shirt with a blazer on top, very comfortable trousers, but it's smart looking. I don't like doing jeans that often. Girl, sports bra and trainers everywhere, because I'm a trained diplomat, and I was, the one advice that I was told by my instructors is always be ready to evacuate and run. Mm-hmm. So heels is like a no-go for me, absolutely not. Okay. So I need to be sure that no matter where I am, I'm ready to just be on the move. So that's just the way I'm trained.
Okay. I mean, everyone's lifestyle is different. There's no right or wrong. I'm not saying that you have to do it this way, you have to do it that way. It's just to get a better understanding, because my job is to help you bridge your personal brand with who you are. You can be a woman who's training for the Olympics, if you get caught by the paparazzi, like on a training day, you just still want to look your best. Like, I'm not saying there's a right or wrong way, but it just needs to be a better understanding. We got to unpeel whatever you got going on in the back. Okay, so you are a minimal, you, I would say, so you're like a minimalist.
Yeah.
You're very minimal. You're comfortable in that, which is good. So that's great. And what about when you are mothering? Is the wear flexible with when you're with your child? Like, are you guys like active and it's still comfortable for you?
Yes, I need to be able to be on a trampoline and roll around on the floor in exactly what I'm wearing right now. So for me, it's what I put on my face is needs to be quite dramatic and dynamic, which is what I have on right now.
Right.
Because if I don't, then it does look like I'm a plain Jane. I don't do jewelry whatsoever because I'm not a jewelry person, but I think because my life is so practical, it just doesn't suit my lifestyle at all.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's nothing wrong with that. Nothing is wrong with that. Just asking the question. It's some, there might be a lot of women out there like that, and you are sharing your story, and a lot of women will probably resonate with you. Me, on the other hand, I'm probably going to be a little glam mom, okay?
Yeah.
I like little color. Come on, kids! But
yeah, absolutely.
Every woman is different.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong way.
I mean, my clothing is, there's pops of color everywhere. So the lipstick I have on right now, my shoes are exactly the same color, or the headwear that I have is right. Exactly the same color. So those are the pops of colors that I inject, and it shows up my... Yeah, it shows up my personality because I'm a very like energetic person. So I need those colors. And the minute I'm in all black, there needs to be
some type
of color somewhere, anywhere. There needs to be some, either it's on my head or on my feet.
Okay. Okay. I think what else? The mothering your spouse takes up a lot of your family time. As far as like your cooking, cleaning, laundry, but you're a practical person, so these are fine. All right, so when we get to your personal, your me time, your boxing, do you have enough athleisure stuff, or are you like frustrated finding stuff to wear when you do this activity?
Last one, I'm very frustrated. This doesn't feel like me.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't feel like me. I just wear whatever I have. I try to inject some of my personality into my athleisure wear. But also, I'm not going anywhere. I have an entire gym in my basement with all of my boxing gear. So I'm not dressing for anyone. I just need to make sure that I can get in and out of it as quickly as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have like 10 minutes to get dressed from working out to doing, you know, I guess family stuff, like you said. But I could use some help in that area because I'm going to have a photo shoot soon. Where it's a lifestyle photo shoot. So the photographer is going to be in my home capturing every moment of, like what you said, you know, the boxing, the mothering, me being the boss and being with my client. And, you know, the boxing stuff is the part that's stressing me out the most out of everything. That's the part I like.
You realize you didn't have enough boxing stuff before, or are you just now realizing it during this exercise?
Oh, I'm like, I don't want to be photographed in that. That's what I'm thinking. I was like, that is like, no. I bought that because it was practical, it was functional. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look great. So, yeah.
Okay. What would be like your ideal outfit for this photo shoot or for you to be in boxing happy? Like your ideal outfit?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously like t-shirt and leggings, but the t-shirt, it's really, really hard because I'm really short. I'm 5'2". It's really short to find V-necks. It's always like up to my neck. And
or up.
Yeah, so it's hard to find that. And then a lot of, I guess, gym leisure wear, it's short cut. So I'm a modest dresser, so I want to be covered. Mm-hmm. By choice, and then a lot of it's skin tight, and I don't want to be skin tight, but then it's oversized to the point of you looking like you're in a tent. So finding the medium is really, really tricky. And then on top of that, the colors are weird. So I know what color palette I am. I'm a dark winter. Mm-hmm. It's impossible finding dark winter tones other than black and white. Black and white, you can find anything, but V-neck, making sure that it's the right fit for my body without it being too skin tight, without it being oversized, something with a V-neck. That's really, really, I feel like I can't find anything that checks those boxes.
Right. You would be categorized as a petite woman.
Yeah.
So that market is like very limited as far as when designers make stuff. They don't have that body type in mind.
I know, but there's so many of us around.
I'm not the clothes maker, but I'm just like letting you know as a person that's, you know, worked, you know, helping the visual, the merchandiser, when they select stuff, there's very limited stuff. And when you're able to ask the designer, like, they don't have that in mind because they have a certain body type in mind, and it's usually not the petite, unfortunately.
And to do something about that, Makara, come on, do you, help them.
Do you have a tailor or a seamstress on speed dial?
I can't find one. I've asked my network for a tailor or a seamstress, and it's crickets. I'm not hearing anything. And I really want that because, again, petite woman, there's a ton of things in my closet that I love, like the blazers. I always wear blazers. Right. They are too long for me because it's not sized for someone short. So I do take a lot of my clothes to a local tailor. Mikara, they said, oh, we don't work on this. Oh, we don't turn this into V-necks. Or we don't shorten blazers because it's too much hard work. So
yeah, that is like the ultimate thing I would tell any petite person, a man or a woman. You need to have your tailor or seamstress on speed dial.
I know. Do you have anyone?
Buy clothes, it's just not meant for a petite person. I want to say, where are you located? But I don't, I'm going to be putting this out, and I'm very big on integrity, so we'll chat after. Having a seamstress or a tailor on speed dial is like your golden ticket.
Yep. They can live in my house. I'll feed them.
Yes.
I will teach them British English if that helps. I don't care. Like, seriously. I hear you. I definitely need a seamstress for sure. You know what? My entire family are petite. My husband is petite. He's really short for a guy. So we will. Yeah, that person, one person can help the entire family.
Yeah. Mm. That's what I said. Any petite man or woman, like, that should be on speed dial. Mm. Your seamstress and your tailor should be on speed dial.
Yeah.
Because everything you're going to buy, unfortunately, they don't have petite people in mind. Unless you find an independent designer or brand that caters specifically for petite people, then look through on Instagram. But, like, the other majority, they do not, unfortunately.
You know what? If you have a designer, I will be their brand manager, and I will do everything for free if they can help me out, because I will wear all of their clothes. I will give them a huge shout out. I will manage their entire personal brand, but I just need help fixing all of this. So, yeah.
You guys hear that?
Help!
SOS!
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into your next category, professional. You spend 27 and a half hours per week. Do you feel like you have enough professional wear?
Oh, my entire closet is professional.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good with professional.
Okay. And the last category is your social, which was very little, which was dining, which was 3 hours
per week. The same thing that I'm wearing right now and go off with my husband. So
I figured it would be like intertwined with your mothering or your husband, because you spend so much time, and I'm literally looking, this is what I would do with my client, and I'm like, well, is your entertainment with your whatever's big? I'm like, this is what I would do.
Yeah. You know what the funny thing is, my husband, this is a joke, but it's a real joke. He always describes me as the city girl. So I'm from London originally, and I look more like the city girl now than ever in my life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we go to farm trips, and here I am with, you know, the hat, the glasses, the blazers, and I look very out of place, but that's just my style. And I want to look like that. I don't want to look like a country bumpkin because that's not me. So I dress the same consistently no matter what situation I'm in, whether it's a play group to going grocery shopping to being with my client on a Zoom call to a networking event. I'm consistently the same. So I very much practice what I preach because my personal brand is part of my business brand. That's exactly what I do for my clients. And I always tell my clients, it doesn't matter what you wear for me. As a solopreneur, be consistent with the style that you choose. So if you want to wear a hoodie and a baseball cap as part of your business brand, just do it consistently. And then people will say, oh my God, she's so Tarlene. Oh my God, she's so Mikara. Oh my God, he's so John. You know, that you become very memorable. It's almost like if there was a Halloween costume with your style on it, people will know that belongs to you.
I kind of don't disagree because what you wear, I'm not saying it has to be name brand, but having a well-fitted outfit on and not looking sloppy says a lot. I mean, there's just countless times where someone has brought, you know, someone who didn't think that their image mattered. When I mean image, I'm not just talking about clothes. I'm talking about your skin looking amazing, having clean nails, having a well-fit shirt, pants, your shoes are polished. I have it on my business card. Your personal appearance is your business card because no one is handing out business cards. So when you come in a room, your image is speaking before you even have a chance to say hello. So I disagree, and I'm not saying it because I'm a stylist, but even on my down days, if I wear a t-shirt, because I'm very moody the way I dress. I'm not.
You dress with your emotions.
Yes, yeah. I'm very moody. Some days I feel like, you know, just being whatever, but I'm still comfortable in whatever, but I still get approached like, hey, are you in the fashion industry? Because your accessories or that bag that you have on, I just feel like the way you present yourself definitely says a lot, especially if you come outside with your shirt ironed, well-fitted outfit, your skin is clean, you got that haircut, or issues well-combed. Like, I'm just talking about the whole presentation, not just clothes.
Yeah, that is my problem. Like you just rolled out of bed and just boom, you're working, right? Which is a lot of people's reality.
Yeah, but I mean, try that for a week and then try putting some effort and then you see the difference. You can do your own case study and see the difference, how people treat you. Number one, how they talk to you, how much advancement you'll get. It's a whole different experience. So I believe that your image, I'm not just talking about clothes. I'm talking about your whole presentation. I'm not saying to wear, you know, that Louis Vuitton or get your nails done. Just have clean, just look presentable.
Yeah, please take a shower and brush your teeth and brush your hair.
I'm not around people who don't brush your teeth and shower, so I don't need to go into detail like that, but I mean, I would hope so.
I know, right?
Yeah. All right. So you have a very practical, and you know you have a very practical lifestyle as well as, well, not lifestyle, but the way you dress, the way you present yourself, I feel like you have a very extensive, like, headpiece collection. I feel like that's like your it thing.
Yeah. Without it, people will be like, who's that? So it's a new thing, but I do have, I mean, I don't do accessories. That is my only accessory. So I need a good, you know, array of scarves, and I'm looking for more because I'm wearing the same stuff over and over again in terms of my accessories. So
hats I feel like will probably be your thing because you could definitely spice it up. Scarves, there's so many.
Plus, this is what you see, like when I'm on a Zoom call, you don't see the rest of me, it's this, you know.
All right,
so yeah, I can really jazz it up on my head, I guess.
No, I'm just looking at how much time you mother. And I know when you're with your child, you have to be active. Mm-hmm. So those are things that you can just instantly just take off, take on. Your hat, your scarf.
Oh, thanks. But it doesn't go. It just, I have figured out a way that thing does not move from my head. So it's, seriously, the minute I get dressed, it's with me for the rest of the day. I don't fluctuate. I just don't move around the day.
No, I'm just saying, as far as like if you had to do some type of like activity, like do boxing, you could just take it off and just do, like you can hop at the drop of a dime. Okay. How would you describe your personal style in three words?
This is what sporty chic. I'm sporty shit. Sport, not shitty. Oh my gosh. It's late. I would say I'm sporty, city chic.
Okay, Shiggy, you are from London.
Yeah.
I hear London people say this word.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. For the people who do not know, what does that mean?
Okay, so the funny thing is, an American used that to describe me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually not my word. It wasn't the word that I would describe to choose myself, but I have adopted it because I think it's quite, so someone who's presentable is able to put themselves together effortlessly. So that's my description of chic, chic.
Okay. Well, you don't really shop too much. I was gonna ask, would you consider yourself as a impulsive shopper, a one of one shopper? When you shop for clothes, are you intentional about when you buy your clothes?
So I'm a one in, one out kind of girl. So I always look at the colors selection first, and then I go with the style. So I know what style fits my body type because so as part of I do image consulting for solopreneurs because you know this, a lot of people don't think about how they put themselves together.
Oh,
and I'm telling you, I'm turning these entrepreneurs as brand ambassadors for their business, meaning you're not hiding behind the scenes anymore. You're in front of your business doing your thing and turning them into their brand, you know, brand icons in their industry. So the backstory is important. The way they present themselves is important. But my biggest thing that I share with my clients is consistency, consistency, consistency. You have to be consistent with your brand, and this is how you grow your brand reputation and credibility. So, and that goes for the way you put yourself together, but it has to be intentional and it has to be strategic. Like, don't just, because I think the way you dress, I see your style and you love your accessories, girl, but you are consistent with that no matter what you wear.
Absolutely. And, I call it my signature.
Exactly.
Consistency, because sometimes I gotta dial it back because I'm around conservative people. But my signature, like my it thing is accessories. I'm a bald woman, so it would look very bare.
But and you can see that it's very clear that that's the style that, but you strategically went for that. You designed that for yourself and you know that, I don't care if I dress up or dress down, this is one thing about me that's not going to change. And this is how you build that brand consistency. So obviously you're a great example of that. But a lot of the entrepreneurs I work with have no idea. They have no idea. So, gosh, I forgot what the point was of me ranting on about this.
Oh, but do you know what type of shopper you are? Next question I'm going to ask you, because you're more of an intentional, because you know your lifestyle, you're aware. A lot of people are not aware of what's going on in you. I feel like you have a grasp of that.
But I'm scared shopper though. I'm a scared shopper. I'll go into a store, I look around, and then I get scared and go, I don't know if that's the right pick for me, because I want to make sure that whatever I choose for myself, I wear it all the time. So I want to match.
For me, that's intentional, because you know what works for you. Like, again, you're aware of what is good for you. You know your palette and you stick with it. Versus someone else, they copy off of a mannequin or they copy off of a female. Or they just buy one piece and they don't know what matches with what in the closet. Or another one will buy because they're going on vacation. Like, you have a lot of these different types of shoppers, but you are mindful of what works for you and you stick with it. So I would categorize you as an intentional shopper because you're aware of it.
Okay.
Do you know your body? You know what body shape you are?
I'm a petite apple.
Oh.
I'm a little apple.
Okay. I'm an inverted triangle.
Mm.
Okay. Some people do not know their shape either, which is another thing.
I found out a few months ago because this is what I wanted to say. So as part of my image consulting, I've partnered up with a stylist who happens to be based in London. It's just, she does a 2-hour wardrobe edit for my clients virtually. So I hired her because I was thinking there's something missing in the way I'm dressing myself, and that's the shape. I would look at, the diagram on the internet, and I'm trying to figure out, am I a pear or am I an hourglass? And there's never an apple. And I was flip-flopping between a pear, and I was thinking, I don't think I'm a pear because I'm not bottom heavy. And then I'm not sure if I'm an hourglass because I'm not bottom heavy, because hourglass is this. So I was always stuck with the shape. And then when I hired my consultant, she was the one that said, this is what you are. And now let's look at your entire wardrobe to make sure that your body shape fits the clothes that you've got.
The silhouettes of the clothes.
So this is new for me. This is new. I'm still learning.
Yes. That is like one of the things I do. But the way I do my body shape assessments, I actually have my client come in and draw out, like outline their body. And I also put that in the book, but I outline the body so that people can see, because a lot of people learn better visually. So you see I didn't notice my hips were wider than my shoulders, or, I didn't notice, this proportion. So then I can educate them on, what this is where you need to bring the attention. This is why you don't like, you don't like your lower half, because you have wider hips and thighs. So now you have to re-strategize and bring all the attention up top. Mm. And when you buy clothes, you have to buy clothes that flatter, because the clothes conform to your shape. Clothes are already a shape, but your body is the dominant shape. So the clothes will conform to your body shape. So it's like a re-education on doing that whole thing. They learn a lot.
Yeah. Other than, it's backwards for people to think, I need to lose 10 pounds to fit into that item of clothing. And it's like, no, it should be the other way around. Clothes should conform to you, not you conforming to an item.
Correct.
Right? So I love the fact that you do that.
Yes. I was reading I forgot what book it was. I read a lot. I read like a book a month. Nice. That is my me time reading. But it was one of an old book, and I was like, I don't want to do the whole measure around. I'm like, I don't feel like it's precise enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I really want my clients to have the greatest results, and doing it that way, along with taking the measurements, because you're going to need your measurements anyway when you shop or if you have some type of something special. But I feel that way is a lot more beneficial to the client, because they, like I said, they visually learn and see, like, I didn't realize my body shape, it makes so much sense now. So
It's a huge learning curve, because there's so much things that you have to unlearn, because society forces a specific image. You must be this tall. Like you said, there's no clothes for petite women, but everything's designed for taller women. That's a huge problem. And then everything's designed for this figure, not this figure or that figure.
Predominantly, America is a size 8 and up, but they made it here. So, and then also the waistline, some women have longer weight, like your torso is longer, some are smaller. That's another problem. But you have men, their clothing, you have like their suit or their shirt is like 6L or 6R, and I'm just like, well, why don't we have this? So the whole designing production of how women's clothing, and yet we're the ones that consume and shop the most. It's just a little, I don't know, it's just a little off, but.
Yeah. And here's another problem I have a lot of the time. So I have, big biceps, and then this is already like really tight. So it's kind of like, what about for the curvy, fit women who are short? Right. So this is what I have a really hard time with the athleisure wear, because there isn't anything for that type of person.
Correct.
And there's a lot of us out there. So there's a huge market. So whoever's an entrepreneur who knows how to design clothes, wants to work in athleisure, there's a massive market. And okay, you and I can really like make them huge.
Oh, they tried to pay me, sweetheart.
Like, we will be their power team. Seriously.
Yeah.
We'll see. You can tell them what they need to design. I will get their brand out there.
Yeah. Well, hey.
There you go.
I mean, the whole direct-to-consumer thing is just so amazing. There's so many people who have started their brand off of social media. Mm. And I don't know. I just feel like it should be so many more. But I don't know what people's economic situation is post-pandemic. But I don't know. But
no, people are spending money. Huh? People are spending money no matter if it's a pandemic or not. There's always people spending. But
oh, I know. Mm-hmm. But it's so much that goes into designing. Mm-hmm. It's so much that goes into designing. It's a lot of money spent in the design production phase, and you haven't even gotten to actually producing it.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I don't know. Some people get kind of like intimidated, but
yeah.
I do love this climate, though, of the direct-to-consumer. I'm very excited about this new era for my business.
Mm-hmm.
2024, I will be out on my little book tour with these conventions and expos. Definitely be on the lookout for that. Do you want to share anything for the people? Where can they find you? What can they know about you?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, I'm a personal brand consultant for solopreneurs, so I help entrepreneurs be the face of their business. So no more hiding behind the scenes. It's about you first, and then how your target audience can connect with you. And then once they buy into you, your service and your products is so easy to sell afterwards. So you can find me Google Boss Diplomat. I have podcasts, I have YouTube, obviously my website, and the best way to get in touch with me is by booking a power hour session with me, and I really dive deep into your personal brand or your business brand and look at all of the holes and gaps in your business, and we fix it on the spot.
Okay. All right. So you guys make sure you follow her, Boss Diplomat. You guys definitely can purchase my book.
Oh, yeah.
What's your being? Discover your fashion identity. I go through the whole thing of aligning your life missions with your wardrobe. And if you're struggling on trying to figure out your shopping strategies, dressing intentionally. And also the last chapter, I think, was my most difficult chapter. Chapter 5 is about nourishing your personal style. Meaning you need to be in your element with your personal style, not someone else's, not you copying someone else's look. You really becoming one with your personal style, because you are the one wearing it. And when you wear it, it will execute outwards and no one can tell you anything else. I thought that chapter was very needed. And I used one of my clients. She was a content creator. I'm not going to give too much away, but each chapter has its own client, their own problem and exercises. We did an exercise today. If you guys like this exercise, it's very, very intense, but you will.
Intense is good.
Thank you. Yes.
You can like all of, I was going to say that all of my sessions are super intense, but once you get it done, you've got it done.
Correct. Mm. And you see a difference
mm-hmm.
afterwards. Woo! This is such a wonderful series. I want to thank everyone for taking the time out, especially you coming on.
Thank Woo! You for inviting me. It was a pleasure. I love everything that you're doing. Oh, I'm going to get you on my show too.
Yes. Yeah, let me know.
Yes.
We'll talk in the DM.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk. But you guys can find me at www.mien, that's MIIEN.co. I definitely will be in a new era because I'm definitely in full execution mode with this business plan of my business. And again, like I said, I'll be doing a big book tour in 2024. I'll be at Boss Babe and Brunch in Boston, November 5th, selling the books. You can meet me. And yeah, just stay tuned. I'll be definitely outside in 2024. Okay,
can't be wait. Right. You're gonna blow up this world, Nikara. It's gonna be great.
Yes. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in. What You Mean, the conversation series. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Nikara Reed's debut book, What's Your Mean, is where she shares her proprietary system to help you align your wardrobe style with your professional and personal brand. Purchase now.